I have this letter, the blessings of supportive friends. Who put this here? I'm sorry, did everybody get one? Oh, okay, wonderful. I was going to read it if you didn't, but you have one. Okay, great. All right, thank you. It's, I'll grab this one thing. You can read it there on your desk. Sound like I'm teaching class, but I wouldn't be here where I am today without all the supportive people that God placed in my life, and that's in blue, and I think that's right. None of us would we? We need supportive people. So who are the supportive people in your life? I remember that book, Balcony People, that book that talked about the balcony. Who wrote that? Joyce Landorf? Yeah. The people that you may not know, but they're cheering you on and they're helping you in life. They're the balcony people. We just always usually hear from the other people. But the balcony people that cheer us on and are always there supporting us in the balcony. So, thanks. Good. Read that. I read it all, but I have a slightly involved message. And yet it's an encouragement. And a lot of you have read this passage, and we're not going to take it word for word. I want to read it, and I want to take just 2 points from it and just give you some insights here. I'll read this. It's the 91st Psalm. I'm using New Living Translation. But the 91st Psalm is quite appropriate for where we are and the panic in our society. We were looking at this, Carolyn found this Facebook thing. And I was driving trying to look at it. Don't do that, by the way. Anyway, but there's this habit. I don't know if any of y'all go through this, but there's this habit of, oh, look what I found. And it's there. And you're trying to watch the road and look at the thing. But it was a Walmart opening up. And they'd open the doors and people came. It was Walmart, right? And what it was. And people came rushing in like a herd of wild animals. And they were grabbing toilet paper. And suddenly these aisles just, I don't know if it's a Walmart or what it was, but anyway. And the aisles just, she was showing this, you can find it where she found it. And it's amazing. There were just hundreds and hundreds, of, I guess into the thousands of people, but not to exaggerate. But the aisle was so packed and they were just shoving and pushing and grabbing toilet paper. And it's like, that's people. People, when they get in a mob, become brain dead. I'm serious. People in just you sitting here, you're smart. But you put a mob of people out there and suddenly we catch that fear and panic that's contagious. Friends, I know I refer to this a lot, but 2 things God has used in my life to help me not to catch that panic from others. And of course, one you'd say, well, the military, right? Yeah. If you're going to be a platoon leader or company commander or whatever, they can't see fear in you. If they do, that's contagious. But I tell you where I had to learn it quicker, earlier than that. I had to start learning at 6 years old. You know? And that, all y'all know that story, but man, that's when I woke up and we had a tragic thing happen in the house and my mom was out of her mind and she was standing over my dad with that butcher knife, and he was holding her wrist trying to keep her from stabbing. I'm 6 years old. And you start learning to deal with your fears and stuff, and I had to very early. I don't use that as a tragic tale to say, oh, woe is me. I look on that and say, God, for whatever reasons, early in life, said, I don't want you ever running in fear. I want you to set an example everywhere you go. Now, don't ever think I'm not afraid of some things, because I am. But it's like, don't let stuff scare you. If I can let you grow up in that kind of environment, then that's for a reason. And that's so that whatever else happens, you can say, compared to that. And often I do. It's like, my sister and I were talking on the phone the other day, and she said, you know, compared to some of the stuff we had to see when we were kids, this thing out here, what's a virus compared to butcher knives? Really? I'm serious. And it's like, yeah, those were a lot more real. They were right there in your face. And stuff like that. So, you know, and so if you just learn, and that's what God, all of us as Christians, have got to learn that God is, I'm going to read this a moment, and I really am, but God is our shelter, and He's our protector. And when we feel fear, and I do feel fear, I have felt it about a lot of things, it's just knowing not to let that fear conquer you. You've got to push through and do what you've got to do. Fear often has been a motivator in my life to get something done that I wouldn't have done if I wasn't afraid. You think about that. I've climbed some stuff and done many a thing that I just didn't think I could physically do, but fear motivated me. You know, I'll tell you something. You know, if you're climbing up the side of a cliff, you know, there comes a place and you think, I can't go any further. But when you look down, it's like, yes, I can, because I'm sure not. The alternative is grim here. So, yes. And so fear of falling propels you to go up. I'm going to get to the top and get over this thing. So it's useful. So let me read this and just share with you, you know, that the world's in a panic and they're rushing down aisles to buy toilet paper. God help us if we have a real crisis. Not that this isn't, but God help us if we really have something where, please don't let this happen, Lord, but somebody attacks the power grid. Something big time, God help us. Because look what's happening over this, and I believe God's using this to say, people, wake up. This is the world we're in, and my people need to stand firm. So let me read this. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High, catch these words. I don't want to read them too fast, and I don't want to push for time, but I want you to hear this. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. God alone is my refuge and my place of safety. Friends, this psalm fits where we are. God just put this on my heart and said, it's where I want you to go. Look at this. God alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God and I trust Him. Now, listen to this. You're reading this up. He will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with His feathers. He will shelter you with His wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, and there it is. If you make the Lord your refuge. If you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. And look at that. No plague will come near your home. There it is. There it is. But He says, you've got to make me your refuge, not the United States government, not the medical profession, not the media, not politics, not anything. He said, me. If you make me, the Lord, your refuge, me alone, through your faith in Jesus Christ, you make me your shelter, no evil will conquer you and no plague will come near your home. God orders His angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You'll trample upon lions, and it says cobras here. Other translations say lions. You'll trample on lions and serpents. You will crush fierce lions and serpents. So there it is under your feet. And the Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I'll be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them, and I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. Now, I know that's a lot of passage, but we need it. We need it. The whole world needs it. This country needs it. But you need it today. And God just put it on my heart. Listen, just go there and tell them, you know, just share with everybody. Spread this word. If you'll make the Lord your shelter, not toilet paper. I heard something click, but I'm back on. Really, seriously. people fighting over toilet tissue? Are you kidding me? No, not kidding you. Over sanitizers? They're fighting over things. I mean, are we serious? Even these gloves. I just thank God I keep boxes of these on hand because I use them for so much. You know? It's like, Lord, thank you, I'm prepared. People make fun of me. They go, look, in my little, I have a little pantry, but it's always packed. Of course, there's quite a bit of spam in there. But, hey, you know, I look at it like now and say, what if everything's shut down? I'm going to eat, and I have some deer meat. I can live on deer meat. I kid about spam, but I got deer meat. And I always keep extra flour in the freezer. I put it in the freezer, and you keep it a long time in the freezer, cornmeal. What else you want? Yeah, and so I have all that stuff in sugar. They kid me about salt. I think I have about 15 boxes of salt. You see, why so much salt? Because if I just have to come down to it, then I'll cure my own meat and I'll salt it and I'll dry it. And I'll make jerky out of it if I have to. But you see what I mean? That's why salt is important. You know how to do those things. Anyway, enough of that. So the point being, though, if the Lord, you make the Lord your refuge, you make the Most High your shelter, none of this is going to happen to you, but it's got to be the Lord. It can't be all this other stuff. When I saw that video, it's just like, I can't, you know, people just go crazy, and this is serious. But this is, and they call it, you know, the World Health Organization, whatever, and we got a national emergency here and all that. I understand that. But this is not what it could have been. Okay? And if I'm remembering right, some of you with livestock helped me out here, but I thought I remembered way back growing up and stuff that we vaccinated cattle for this corona, the lesser version of this virus. There was a vaccine for that virus with livestock. And yeah, Dad, and this is a hybrid version. They called it a hybrid. Now, I want to get into this, so this quickly. When I hear something's mutated, that's an act of nature and it's something that's an organism to protect itself. But when I hear hybrid, my antennas go up because hybrid means some human or humans messed with this and developed something out of it. Hybrid is like hybrid corn or hybrid produce. Somebody developed in a lab a hybrid version. Mutated is a different thing for survival. And so, you know, back in the old days when we, in the Cold War, we had to look at all the blood agents and all of the things, the chemical stuff that was out there because we were going to be faced with it in a combat environment. And at that time, we were expecting the Soviet Union to invade Europe through the Fulda Gap. You can look this up in your history. And we were prepared to do airborne drops and stuff into that area, be sacrificed to hold them back. They knew that anybody who met those divisions of Russian tanks coming, they were going to be annihilated. But you would hold them up until we could get reforger. Anybody remember the old reforger exercises where we had the equipment in Europe and we flew the troops over and matched them with their equipment and then they'd fight. Okay. So, but the airborne and all the, you know, all of us light soldiers, light fighters would be dropped in to cut supply lines and do all we could to halt this mass thing. But we had to know about blood agents and all the biological chemical stuff and germ warfare. And I learned when we heard the word hybrid what that meant. That it was developed somewhere in a petri dish in a lab. And it's like scary. I'm not going there with that, but you can take it wherever you want to. And that's what I think happened. And somebody has messed with us. Okay? But this is not near what it could be. I believe this is God's warning, saying, I'm using this to say, I've warned you, my people, if this stuff would happen if they don't listen to my word. And in the latter days, this stuff, there'll be earthquakes and famines, and there will be what? Plagues. So, put that together, read the book of Revelation, read some other things, and you'll see where this stuff is. But for today, you and I, we're not worried about that. We don't have to fear. Now, we take precautions. That's why I was saying earlier, God gave us a brain. So what do? Wash your hands. Wear your gloves. And especially when you grab a pump handle. I just, you know, I know that's gross, but just think about how many people's been grabbing that. And so, you know, if you can find sanitizer, use it. If you can't make it, Now, I've been making my own, and I know it's out on the, you know, she was reading to me this morning. I said, well, I've been making that. I make it. I take aloe vera gel, and I put a little bottle, and I take 3/4 alcohol, and then put the rest aloe vera gel and about 3 or 4 drops or 5 of tea tree oil, and then I put some vitamin E in there so it won't dry out my skin, and mix all that together and pump, pump, pump. So make it yourself. Just make your own. Go home and make it. Put it in your vehicle. To me, or you can get some peroxide and mix the peroxide with water. I use about a 50-50 mix and spray that on. It won't burn your skin. And you're good. Peroxide kills about everything. So anyway, enough of that. It's like, I'm not trying to be a doctor. I'm just telling you what I do. Okay? So I had the gloves on. I may as well act like one for a while. So here it is. I want to give you this first point. No weapon's going to succeed. No weapon can succeed, but that's not the real point up here. I just want you, the real point is trust God to protect you. Okay? Trust God to protect you. And there's a lot of people that are not trusting God to protect them. And I do think, this is me, I'll get on this if you need me to for just 1 minute, soapbox. Okay? I do believe God is challenging His people in His churches. Are you going to demonstrate faith? Are you going to run and hide like the lost people do? Is God your shelter, your refuge, or not? Are you just talking something out there to make people feel good, and then when the stuff hits the fan, you run? This kind of stuff is where you see who really trust in Jesus Christ. And I'm looking at them out here in front of me this morning, and God bless you for it. I don't know if that's a soapbox thing or not, but I got on it just in case. I'm not out here to whip up people. I'm simply saying, you came. You're not running and hiding. You're being smart, and there's sanitizer here, and you can wear them. I brought the gloves. Nobody wanted them. I put them on. I thought they'll feel better shaking my hand. Didn't make any difference. So, see, you did better than me. Trust God to protect you. Let me say this to you. There's the weapons of violence, force. You know, there's physical violence. There's emotional abuse. They can't win. They can't win. There's the media and the threats of politicians. Friends, when you make God your refuge, they're not going to win. I don't know, and I know there's conspiracy theories out here, but you know, my personal opinions are really not we're up here to hear. We're here to hear the Word of God. So whether this is a political maneuver to try to make the president look bad or blah, 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 you know, we'll discuss that. I'll surely get in and discuss that with you after this. But the point is, whatever it is, there's too many people running and not enough people standing and fighting. I'm in touch with a congressman up here, their office, not him. He's busy in Washington, but they're talking. They called this week, and it was about some VA stuff, and we're still trying to work on that. But I asked them, what's your official policy? Not what I'm hearing on TV. And this is what she said. The doctors we work with, the doctors we've spoken with, said that for most people, this thing is no worse than a light case of the flu. I said, that's where y'all, yes, but that's not what the media are saying. And it's like, how sad. Now, this is from their office. I said, what do you want us to do? She said, just exactly what you're hearing. She said, the doctors have told us if you just wash your hands, use a sanitizer you got, keep your hands washed, don't shake hands quite as much because, you know, you're good to go. And we've turned this into a national crisis. So go from there. However, it works on us. It works on our mind. The devil has found, he's finding things. And yet, could this be something as God's just little warning saying, it's going to get worse if my people don't turn, who, you know, called by my name, don't humble themselves and repent of their sins and come? I think so. I think it's still a warning. And I'm not trying to play this down, folks, but I'm telling you, God is your refuge. And those the weapons of violence and force and manipulation that we see, diseases, things seen and unseen, that we can't touch and handle. Just remember this, God can. God knows how to end this. And she had a little thing on Facebook, but I wanted to share it in it because I thought it was funny. Somebody put out on Facebook, I don't look at Facebook, but this girl here gets in Facebook mania. And all the way down, I was hearing all this stuff on Facebook. And I was so Facebooked, I didn't know if I could bring the message today. But one of the things that I thought extremely humorous, and somebody put on there, Corona beer, it does not mean. So that's not going to help you fight the virus, you know. So, so just don't. In case you haven't made that connection, you might not feel it when it comes on, but it won't help you fight it off. So enough there. But listen to me. All the weapons that the enemy uses out here in this world, they look like they're achieving what they want. But listen to this: God is going to turn it against them, and you keep that in mind. And here's where I'm coming from. And you add this to your notes if you want to. Isaiah 54:17. In that coming day, no weapon turned against you will succeed. You will silence every voice raised up to accuse you. These benefits are enjoyed by the servants of the Lord. Their vindication will come from me, and I, the Lord, have spoken. Now you take that and quote that. And when people start bringing you all this gloom and doom, you point out this message and take them to Psalms 91, especially Christian people, and say, have you read that? That still applies. Even more, these people did not have the Holy Spirit living in them permanently. They didn't have the blood of Jesus covering them. We do. And that they were protected even without it because of their faith in God. We have Jesus Christ and His protection and the blood of Christ that covers us. And it's our, listen, we know this, and I'm not saying that you don't. That the point is, take this and share it with other people. And say, whoa, calm down here a minute. The Lord is my shelter. God is my refuge. His angels are watching over me. The blood of Jesus not only cleanses me, but protects me from evils. And you believe that. I'm a firm believer that what we have in our head and our hearts will draw that very thing. And too many people are negative. Too many Christians are thinking doom and gloom, and they wonder why doom and gloom is all around them all the time. What you have in here draws that. Faith draws faith. Belief draws belief. I even believe this. Some of you that are really lacking in funds, you need to think more in that line. God's going to grow me a money tree. You with me now? Yeah, really. God doesn't want us to fall in love with money. He says that's the root of all evil. He did not say money was evil. It's the love of it. And sometimes I think you need to ask God, look, God, give me a heart and mind that knows how to manage it so you can trust me with it. That knows how to give and tithe with it. Knows how to help other people when they need it. Because God says, give and it'll be given, pressed down, running without measure. And just take Him at His word. And so ask God to give you the finances and the wisdom to handle it correctly. I believe He'll do it, don't you? Quit talking about what you don't have and start talking about and saying in faith what you're going to have from God. God is doing this. Not if this happens, it's when it happens. If God gives me that money, if God does it, when God does that, when God gives me this money, this is what I'm going to do. When? Believing. Even before it happens. Listen to me. He says, no weapon formed against you will succeed. There's the weapons of the tongue. Well, we're seeing that out there, aren't we? Accusation, gossip, lying, false testimony. You think there's a little false testimony out here in this world? Just a little. God says He'll expose all this. He said, nothing's done in secret that will not be what? Made public. He'll expose it. Christian, pray that God will expose the lies and reveal the truth. The truth that sets you free. He said, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And in whom the Son of God has freed is free indeed. There's nothing secret that will not be revealed. As Christians take this position, and what does it say right now? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean into your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge God and He'll make your paths straight. And that's what we do. We take that stand and we walk that walk. And we walk that path. And friends, if others want to go hiding in the corner, I've never been allowed by God to run and hide from anything. I think I was eight. Woke up in the night, smelled something. We all, you know, what is it? Well, Mom, bless her heart and her condition. She was smoking in bed and she went to sleep and it fell out. And it actually literally burned down, and the mattress inside was nothing but just ready to, it was smoking coming out. It had those little vents, the little metal vents on the side of it. Those old mattresses, and it was just smoke. It was in out of there. And I remember going, what is that? Dad jumped up and said, the mattress is on fire. Well, I couldn't see any fire. He grabbed those little loops and he said, help me, help me. And we're dragging it out and we throw it out in the yard, and then flame starts when it got that air, and the flame started coming out. Well, our house was so tiny, we all slept in the same room, a little fold-up beds. Well, at that time, we only had a two-room house. And so it was, it burned us up. And so, you learn to just deal with it and face it head on. You can go jumping out the window, or you just grab what's on fire and pitch it out. Friends, take a lesson learned from an 8-year-old kid. Just grab what's on fire and pitch it out. Don't run out and let what's on fire burn your whole place down. Take it and pitch it out. And there's a whole bunch of stuff you need to take and pitch out, and don't let it burn your house down. Those kind of lessons stay with you. Face it head on. You can go running out, and there may be a time to do that. But there's lots of times the devil wants us to go panicking and running when we need to stand and fight, just cast out what it is that's causing the problem. Now, I remember that old mattress just started finally burning. It had been smoldering in there. So if anybody ever says a cigarette won't catch a mattress on fire, it did then. Sure did then. I wouldn't have believed it, but then. But what was the lesson? Don't run, fight. Don't run, fight. And what does the Scripture say? Take your stand. And he said, over in Ephesians says, put on the full armor of God. Put on the belt of God's truth. We just looked at God's truth, and He'll deliver me from every deadly disease if I seek Him, my refuge and my shelter. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. I am righteous because Jesus Christ is my Savior and Lord, and His blood has washed away my sins. And I put on my helmet of salvation, my faith in Jesus Christ. My feet shod with knowing the Word of God, and I'm standing on it with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And and I hold up the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts. That's the lies and the attacks of the enemy. And what else do I do? I hold in my hand the sword of the Spirit. What is that? That's the Word of God. And I quote it, and I use the authority of Jesus' name and authority of His Word. And I stand against things like this. And I stand against the enemy when it comes. And I say, I will refuse to receive this. In Jesus' name, God is my shelter. God is my victory. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who loves me. Friends, that's where this stuff is. That's where you make it. I got to close here. This could go on forever. I'm more excited about this than you are today. I just like this stuff. You know, it's just like when things are happening, it fires me up. Why? Because in here, inside here, it's like, let's whip this thing. Let's defeat the enemy. I'm going to run from that sucker. I'm going to fight him. That's just fight. You say, I think you just like to fight. Yeah, I guess so. Some of us some of you have it too. You just have that warrior spirit. You're just warriors. Just get it on. Get out here and do the good works and live the righteous lifestyle and overcome by prayer and worship, faith, hope, and love. Let me give you the second point. You said, well, that's a long first point. Thank God you didn't have more points. Okay, that's just 2 points. The second point. There's a time to trust God to fight for you. Just like way back there when Jehoshaphat and all of his people had the enemy coming against them. And they were outnumbered. And they went to the Lord and said, what do we do? You know what God said? Oh, not much. Put all the band's people, put all the singers and the flute players and everybody, put the musicians out front, and y'all just march out praising God. Now that's a real army, huh? All the army. He said, you don't want us to ambush them? You don't want us to try? No. I want you to go out there and I want you to just march and just praising me for something I haven't done but I'm about to do. Friends, there's a time to just thank God in advance for what He's doing and going to do. And all the people went out there, and you go back and read that story over in 2 Chronicles 20, thereabouts in that area, and you'll find that God said, here's what He said, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours but God's. This that we see out there is not yours but God's. And they went and they were singing, and God turned the enemy against themselves, and they were destroyed. And the people of God just stood there praising God. Well, God did His thing. And I'm saying to you, you just stand there praising God, thanking Him, standing in His shelter, letting Him be your refuge, doing what you know to do, and when you run the end of that string, this is all I know to do, praise His name. The battle is not yours but God's, and against enemies, especially things we can't see that float in the air or they're made by contact, all this stuff. You know, it's easy to panic until you realize, why, this didn't surprise God. God knows those little germs. He saw this coming. He knows all about this. All He's wanting me to do is take a stand and praise Him and believe Him, do what I know to do, and I can't do more, and I can't whip this thing out. That army's too big for me. And God's saying, it's just a little piddly thing to me, and if you'll see me as the big God that I am, I'll take care of it for you. It's the truth. That's where it's at, friends. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir here, and a lot of this, you're sitting here saying, we know that, but a lot of your friends don't. You may have family members that don't. I was aggravating my sister this week, and it's not an uncommon thing. And well, she didn't come down here anymore. She used to come see me more often. But we're real close. We always have been, but she knows I'm going to aggravate her, and she called up. She just had to do it. And here's what she was doing. She was talking about the big run on the toilet paper in the city, right? She's become a kind of a city girl. And I said, yeah. Said, and she's talking about one of my cousins went all the way out to Mineral Wells. And they were only allowed at the Walmart there, and they were only allowed 2 packs of toilet paper. So see, it's even out in the country. She just had to do it. And I heard that. She lives in Keller, which is all surrounded by Fort Worth, Dallas, Austin. And I said, look, I know you're a city girl. And I knew that. Oh, she'll not be coming. It's like, here we go. I said, the reason they don't have toilet paper in Mineral Wells is because all those stupid city people are running all the way out to Mineral Wells and buying that toilet paper. Well, it wasn't that I really believed that, but I just, oh my gosh, you could feel the flames coming through that. Woo! Well, I'll have you know there's stupid people out where you live too. I said, but they're smart enough to have toilet paper. Anyway, this just goes back and forth between us all the time. And some of you live in the city, I don't think you're stupid, but I was doing that for her, though. I just had to. And she said, it's really not. You just know, some people don't know when to stop. Could she stop there? No. Well, I like living in the city because when I want something, I can just go down there and get it. And I said, like toilet paper? And she said, I got to go. And I said, okay. She'll call me back Monday, and this is what happens with us. She'll call me back Monday. This always happens, unless she listens to this, and then she won't call me for a month. But anyway, She'll call the next week, and it's like we never had the conversation. You know, it's just that brother-sister thing going on. But, oh, yeah, I thought, you're not going to win this one. It's like, don't you know, girl, when to close the door and stop? Because I'm not backing up. And she knows it. Don't you know it by now? But no, she didn't know it by now. Anyway, I'm going to tell you what to do. Here's what God said to do. I'll give you these points. No weapon can prosper. The battle is the Lord's. I will not fear or be dismayed is what you need to say in your prayer. This is a prayer. No weapon is going to prosper against me. The Lord is my refuge, my shelter. The battle is the Lord's, and I will not fear. I will not be dismayed. I'm a conqueror and more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ. So these points, practical points of application. I don't have these in every message, but these are practical points of application in this one. Number one, keep focused on Jesus. You say, that's really simple. Yep, and that's where it's the simple little things that we mess up in. Don't listen. Don't. It's so easy to get sidetracked with what's in the media. Hey, you got to watch what's online. There's a lot of junk, isn't there, online? God, they'll tell you anything. You know, you don't know if it's true or not. You used to hear this whole thing about Lee Marvin and Captain Kangaroo met on the beach over there. And y'all ever see that one way back? There was a big thing that Lee Marvin and Captain Kangaroo, what was his name? Anybody remember? Anyway, that they were in the Marine Corps and they were both wounded and met on a beach on one of the islands over there. They weren't in the Marine Corps. But Lee Marvin was interviewed on Johnny Carson's show one night, and Johnny asked him about that, and he said, we never met on a beach, wounded, but we're good friends. But somebody took that, see, and turned it into this whole thing. And what was the guy on, I don't remember what it was, had the little kid show, Mr. Rogers. And it was that he was a Navy SEAL. I never did find out if he was or not. That'll be some research project for somebody. I don't know if Mr. Rogers was ever a Navy SEAL. He was it? A Marine. But it came out he was a Navy SEAL, and they tried to make that. Look at this Navy SEAL doing a little kid's show. Anyway, so all this stuff out there, don't let it get to you, because here's what we stand on. I'm going to focus on Jesus Christ. Colossians tells me to look and keep my mind on Christ, keep my eyes lifted up. Whatever this is going on out here, I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Secondly, take God's word and stand on it. This word you've just heard this morning, you didn't just hear it. I read it to you verse by verse. It's right up here. You stand on it and you refuse to budge. This thing could get better quicker, or it could be more of a, I don't know. That part, all I can tell you is, you take what God says and you stand on it. And you don't quit. Thirdly, refuse. Listen to me. Listen to this. Refuse to receive the fears of other people. Fear and panic are very contagious. You and a group of people, one or two, get afraid. You ever been in a group at night and somebody gets spooked? How quick it is for that to just instantly, now you may get control of yourself, but instantly it just happened like a shark frenzy. And that was one of our biggest things is don't fear, don't fear, don't fear, don't fear. Keep going, push forward. Refuse to receive the fears of others. Fear and panic, boy, they're tools of the enemy, fear and panic. The enemy wants you to panic, because when panic, people start running. They're like that little video we saw, running down the aisle to grab toilet paper. What they need to be doing, listen to me, they need to be running in this church and other churches and grabbing Jesus Christ. I'm serious. What a mass frenzy over such a thing. And where are they in church? Churches are closed? Now, I won't debate that, you know, but couldn't you even have some kind of service in the parking lot? Can you do something? I don't want to beat on that. You know what I'm saying? Fourthly, Jesus Christ in you is greater than he that's in the world. Or it, or whatever else, whatever's out there in the world, Jesus is greater. Fifthly, God is for you. That's out of Romans. And if God is for us, what does it say? No one, nothing can be against us. You got it. He who did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with Jesus, freely and graciously give us all things? Isn't this cool? This is good. No weapon, listen to me, no weapon, nothing the enemy does can succeed. The battle is the Lord's. You are God's chosen people. You're His children. He has appointed you to be His chosen people. He freely forgives. He saved you by grace. Your name is written in His book of life. Do you think after going to all the trouble to die on the cross for you and rise again that God's not going to protect you through something like this? Oh, He surely will. You make Him your refuge. You claim the blood of Jesus over you and your loved ones every day, over your home, your work, wherever you got to go. Yeah, put your glove on him, use your sanitizer, use the brain he gave you. But listen, when it goes past that, you just let him be your refuge and trust God that no weapon formed against you will succeed. Listen to this. Come to God, hold on to him. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And I close with this. Do not be afraid or discouraged. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's it. Yes, ma'am. Pray for what? Yep. Uh-huh. Oh, yes. Yes. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Yes. I sure will. Listen, folks. See, that's exactly what I'm talking about. We're going to let a little thing I know it can hurt people. We're going to let something like that, and all they got to do is, if they're afraid, to put this on. I'll blow in mine because it's easier to warm them up to put them on. And I've used these so much. All you got to do is that right there. And you're going to cut off a food ministry? We're going to shut down? And I'll wish they'd take that hot air and blow it in the gloves and then start standing on faith. That's exactly what I'm saying. And we will. Well, we're going to pray about it right now before we go. And I ask you in Jesus' name, Father, this is not going to happen. I ask you to put it in the hearts and the conscience and minds of people sitting out there saying, well, we've got to shut down our church. We've got to shut down our food ministry. Well, I'm asking you to do the opposite. And if they don't want to do it, then I'm asking you to bring people that will. When there's others running backwards, there's others going forwards, and your people, your true people, will take a stand and say, we're not going to let this happen. And I ask you to intervene here. We're not going to, God, that you will not let people go hungry. I'm asking you to intervene and do what you do. We don't know how to fix it, but you do. And we put this in your hands. And we put every other problem everybody's experiencing, whether things are shut down, can't go to work, or you maybe the stores, whatever it is. Father God, in Jesus' name, whip this thing. We look to you. We know you can do it. You're the great physician. If you can bring people back to life, you can kill a little bug. And we stand on that. And you can protect us. And you can provide for people. And you're going to meet every need here, spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, financially. And we know you are. And we thank you for it in advance. We thank you for what you've done, what you're doing, and what you're going to do in Jesus' name. And we just pray and plead the blood of Jesus over us to cleanse, heal, protect, deliver. And Father, fill us with your Spirit to overflowing as rivers of living water and lead us out here taking refuge in you, making you our refuge, our shelter, our Lord, our God, and keeping our eyes and hearts fixed on you. And we are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. Thank you, Father. Thank you. We praise your holy name in Jesus' name. Amen.